Brothers and sisters, we come together to worship, and we use this word worship quite freely, not always with the concept of what the scripture might be giving us. If you talk to an evangelist, worship for him is loud and cheerful music, very demonstrative in many cases, and that for him conveys the concept of worship. For other people, it's a form of service, whether it is a church service or a family service of the daily readings or whatever. We see that as part of our worship. And so we worship in many ways. Some of us will say, I never feel closer to God than when I'm in prayer. And I would say, well, I think I feel closer to God when I'm reading the Bible. And so we have various ways in which we want to approach our Heavenly Father and to worship Him. So what's the common factor? The common factor is that He is glorified and we are humbled. And until we have that humble state of mind, we could never worship God in the way that God would like us to worship Him. I've just chosen a title from one of Paul's words, in a series of Paul's words in Acts. And it just struck me as, well, let's find out a bit more about it. For Paul says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he says those are the words of the Lord. And my suggestion is that you will look very hard in the gospel records and you won't find that saying. But Paul gives it as a summation. It can be one of two things. It can be that Paul actually heard something that Jesus said that is not in our gospel records. That's very possible. He was in Jerusalem much at the same time. Or it could be a summation of the whole of Jesus' life, that he was focused on giving and not on receiving. And that to me is equally powerful, that the focus of his life led Paul to raise those words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'd like us just to turn to Exodus 24 and 25. There's not a lot of reading in this, but I just want to draw your attention to a factor. The verse I would use is verse 12 from chapter 24. So if you just find that. And Yahweh said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And so we have an invitation from the eternal God, our Father, inviting one of us, Moses, and I'm comparing ourselves with Moses, but flesh, up into the mountain to meet with him, however that meeting took place. And he said, I've got a gift for you. The gift is the table of stones with the law and with the commandments which you may teach. And so when we think about what God has given us, the most precious thing that he has given is his word. And so that makes us think about all the things we might pray for that we want and that come floating into the top of our mind always very quickly. I mean, lay in hospital for 3 days wondering what's going to happen to you. And I can tell you, you'll be thinking about a lot of things. And no doubt some of you have had similar experiences. But the focus is always me. And you can't help it because we are so me-oriented. But God said, I've given you something which is above you, and it's my gift. And I want to see it, that this word of God is in our mind as a gift. It comes beautifully wrapped up. It's provided for us. So that was his gift. And if Paul's words are echoing again, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So did our Heavenly Father take great joy in passing the tables of stone down to a man, a humble man, and saying, take these and teach from them? What a wonderful thing we're talking about this morning. Because that's what we've got. We've got his word, and he's only asked to do one thing, to teach each other from it, and to grow and to learn, and to teach the world outside of the grace of God, the wonderful gift. So that's the opening concept that I wanted to put to you, that we have this wonderful gift, and let us not treat it lightly. But the next chapter opens with, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me a gift, an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. I like that pronoun there. All right, just think about that. I was just thinking as we sang the hymn, and you've chosen a couple of nice hymns for this morning, we should, when we're congregationally singing, change the I's to we's, because we are singing in community. So just think about that. I often think about it when I'm singing. Think, no, it's not me, it's not I, it's us and we, and we join together in that. So here we just have the gifts that we may offer, and these are the things which materially can serve God. Now, I don't think that God needs gold or silver or jewels or those sort of materials brought to him today. So what does he want? What does God want us to bring in response to his gift of the word? Well, it's all wrapped up in the word worship. It's that we place him on high and we humble and prostrate ourselves before him. And that's not an easy thing to do, because everywhere out in the world we're told to elevate ourselves and to put ourselves in the front line. But God has said, no, I want you to be humble, and you cannot worship me without that quality. So let us think about the value of humility. The first example then of giving was that of our Heavenly Father. Moses didn't ask for it. God gave it. And God invited him into a fellowship, we might say, on the mountain, that he might share this gift with him. So God is the first giver. When I used to go to Sunday school, and probably you still use it, who is ever lost by giving? The sky pours down its rain, refreshing all things living, and something, something, I can't remember the rest of it. But who ever lost by giving is the theme that we want to think about. And Jesus himself, and this is a paraphrase really of Jesus' words in that little song, because God, Jesus said that the Father, God, sends his sunshine and his rain upon the just and upon the unjust. And he makes no difference, because humanity is all his creation. And so, brothers and sisters, if there's not a simple lesson for that in us, that we live a life of separation, but don't let us live a life which says we are better than others. Okay? Because God pours down his gifts on all. And we need to think about our position in the world in relation to separation and contribution. That's just a thought of my own. There's two lovely words that appear in the New Testament. The verb and the noun, I think I should say. Probably you could tell me more correctly. But the word is abundant or abundance. And you think of where those words are used in the New Testament about things abundantly given. And that's what Paul uses. And I'm not going to give you a list of quotations for it. But they're lovely thoughts that in giving, the word associated with it is abundance, not enough. Abundance. And the proverb is about giving good measure, pressed down and running over. That's the concept of abundance. And in this Exodus 25, if we read it through, we find the people did respond with abundance. And Moses had more than enough in the gifts that were given to him to build the tabernacle. And if you've been an AB in a larger meeting, sometimes you wonder, where's all the abundance? You can't find somebody to do something. It's the spirit of abundant giving, not just giving. And we're told that God gives life, eternal life, and he gives it abundantly. What a beautiful phrase. Let's think about that word when it comes to giving, to be giving more than enough. And again, Jesus reflects that in his commandment about going the second mile and to do that which is more than expected, because this is a witness to himself. And so we have really three examples of giving in the word that we want to be exhorted by. There's that which the Father gave. There's that which the Son has given. And there is that which men and women of like mind and faith as ourselves have given and are giving. And we might think of the Apostle Paul particularly, or any of the others. Moses is a good example. And so this idea of free will giving carries over onto the list of appropriate sacrifices. And so there was a free will offering, which was something that was not in response to a commandment, was not in response to a necessity. It was something you just liked to do. And God willingly and graciously accepted the gifts of the people of Israel because they had that abundant attitude towards their God. It wasn't always easy to express. And very often Israel never rose to it. In fact, they reduced it to the minimum they could possibly give and still get away with it. So we need to think about this abundant idea that graciousness is about abundance. And we want to be gracious like our Heavenly Father. So we quoted the example in Exodus 35, and there's another one which I'm sure you will well know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And so maybe we should just read that one. Brother Bill, you won't know that I usually speak in the Bay of Plenty because you're sitting down. And the main reason is your book stand is too tall, and I can't focus on what I'm reading. If you adjusted this down a little bit, I'd be right. So 1 Chronicles 29, verses 6 to 9, we'll read them. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands and of the hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold, etc., etc., etc. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they had offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to Yahweh. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. This is the exhortation I want us to take this morning. I want us to understand that in abundant giving and an abundant offering, the heart is first. And you notice that David the king also rejoiced. So when we worship God, our Lord Jesus is rejoicing in the way we do it. How do you think he feels if we're a bit mean? My brother used to say, you know, when the collection bag comes round at church, a $10 note always looks a bit too big, but when you go to the supermarket, it's not much. So this concept of abundant giving is what I want to bring home. And I want to bring the thought that abundant giving is what God delights in and what Jesus rejoices over. And we too, when we see acts of kindness and goodness and overwhelming goodness from one another, rejoice in our God and pray. Praise him. When I was in hospital, you know that I have a lot to do with Chinese people in Auckland, many of them. A lot of them are elderly people, very traditional. And the traditional thing in Chinese culture for when someone is sick is you bring them fruit. And the ward that I was in, thankfully, was a single room, but it looked more like a fruiterer's bar. And every time someone came in, I said, now, I want you to take a bag of fruit. So it was sort of a fruit exchange system going on there. But the delight for me was the abundance, the way in which they went to the trouble. Not one orange, 10 oranges. You know, I couldn't possibly eat them, and it was unrealistic. But yeah, the spirit of it was wonderful. So we've talked about giving, and we've talked about giving in the right spirit and in the right quantity. And the examples that we have set before us this morning as we come to worship is that of our Heavenly Father, who gives to all men liberally. That of our Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life for you and me, and let us not forget, for the world. And that of many like-minded brothers and sisters who share also the same spirit of giving. This is the leadership we need this morning. I talk about leadership for a moment, because in actual fact we live in a world where every man does his own thing, and the idea of submitting to leadership is not very popular. Okay? You go to a kindergarten, you'll soon find out. So the concept of leadership is something that goes with giving. That we're actually led in our gifting, and we're led in our worship by our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father's example, and that example of one another. So let us willingly submit to this leadership that is established in the Word of God, because human beings without leaders are certainly lost. Okay? So we look to our exhorting brethren and our recording brethren and all those people that work on our behalf and accept their leadership. One more thought that I'd like to give you, and that is about how we do it. There's a very common saying around, don't tell me what to do, just show me. Well, that's what we're remembering this morning. One who did not just tell, but also demonstrated abundant giving for us to take notice of. And the Word of God is full of people who gave abundantly and willingly. And I've got a little list here, and you might like to think of each one as I drop it in your mind. The first one is Abel, who willingly sought out his brother, knowing the risks that were involved. There was Joseph, who was so abundant in his giving and so willing to share. There was Esther, who willingly put her life on the line for her own people. And there was Zacchaeus. And one of the things I learnt when I was doing an exhort on Zacchaeus was the Bullinger's Bible puts it in the past tense. And that Zacchaeus, when he comes to the Lord and says, I will give, actually it should be read, I have given. Zacchaeus had already done it. And that's why the Lord Jesus called him down and said, I want to eat at your place. Fellowship with the man who had already given and already responded. It makes you wonder whether Zacchaeus heard some of the teaching of Jesus before and had been converted. And that's why Jesus sought him out. Would to God it would work for each of us like that. I just want to finish now on Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is that very long psalm that deals with the history of Israel. And it's a sad psalm in a way, because in so many places it says, and they would not, or they set not their heart, or they turned back. There was this negative record of the people of Israel, despite what God had given them. They did not respond. And in verse 32 is a good example. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. It's a terrible sin, isn't it? And it's listed there for us in Psalm 78. But there is something much nicer in Psalm 78. I just have to find the verse. It's verse 7. Psalm 78 and verse 7. It's about why God did it. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment. They might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So that's a terribly negative report that David says when he's writing this psalm, the failure of the nation of Israel. So we come together, as we say, on a Sunday morning to examine ourselves and to think about our relationship with our God, how we worship him, what our attitude is towards giving of the substance that we have, whether it be our time or our abilities or our money or any other thing. It's the spirit of giving in abundance that gives our Heavenly Father such pleasure and our Lord Jesus Christ such joy this morning. I thank you for that time.